Support for The Common comes from Bluey's Big Play. Join Bluey, Bingo, Bandit, and Chili in their first ever live stage show, a fun-filled show made for the whole family at the Box Center Wang Theater, May 18th and 19th. Tickets at boxcenter.org. Support for The Common comes from the law firm of Davis Malm. Whether you're a private business, a public company, a municipality, a nonprofit, or in-house counsel, their business attorneys help achieve your short and long-term goals. DavisMalm.com, DavisMalm.com.
WBUR Podcasts, Boston.
I'm Daryl C. Murphy, and you're listening to The Common. When the city removed a tent encampment in the area known as Massancast back in November, officials offered to help people find housing as part of a plan to help keep them off the streets. Now, two state-run housing programs that were part of the effort are slated to close, and the state is offering new housing options. WBUR reporter Deb Becker is here to talk to us about why these programs are closing and how the closures will affect the people they serve. Deb, thank you so much for coming back to The Common.
You're welcome.
So before we get into these closures, I want to go back to last fall when a city ordinance to clear out the Massancast encampment had just been passed. All tents and temporary structures were supposed to be removed by November 1st. Can you remind us why this was such a high priority for the city at that time?
Well, there was increasing violence reported in the tent encampment. And although there were fewer numbers of tents and people living in that area near the intersection of Massachusetts Avenue and Melnia Cass Boulevard, there just seemed to be an awful lot of violence, reports of stabbings and fires. And it got to the point where some of the healthcare workers and outreach workers who went around to the tents in the encampment refused to go there. Because of the danger. So the city said it had to take steps to deal with some of this. So there had been some housing set up previously at what are called the cottages on the Lemuel Shattuck Hospital grounds. And these are 18 temporary structures that are like one-room cottages that folks could stay in. And they provided wraparound services as well for people struggling with mental health and substance use disorders.
Because Massancast is the epicenter of substance use disorder and mental health issues right now for the city of Boston.
Right. That's right. There are a lot of services there. They attract a lot of people. So people were camping out there and living there to get those services. And there were some public safety concerns because of that. So anyway, the mayor, Mayor Michelle Wu, decided to implement this ordinance saying tents out as of November 1st and you would be provided housing. And two options, the cottages and hotel rooms at the Envision Hotel in Boston, were two places that folks could go to.
Understood. And so how did that clearing go? Can the city consider it a success? Because that's not the first time they've cleared an encampment there.
Right. They cleared encampments repeatedly. I think in this particular case, it went fairly smoothly from the city's perspective, and the tents have remained away. However, once the weather gets warmer, things tend to increase in that area, and tents seem to go back up because of the weather, because it's more comfortable to be outside. But since November, the area has been fairly clear, and there have been a lot of police patrols in that area to keep it that way.
Got it. So now let's talk about these two housing programs that are slated to close. Tell us more about them and why these programs are coming to an end.
So the cottages were set up, as we said, on the Shattuck Hospital campus. There are 18 of them. They're these one-room aluminum structures, really, temporary structures that the city set up and said, we would be able to provide housing here and some wraparound services for people from the Massancast encampment. And these were set up before the ordinance went into effect, by the way. And then at the Envision Hotel, folks could go into hotel rooms and also receive services. And the goal there was really to work on locating permanent stable housing for these people. So these were two sort of transitional housing programs, supposed to be low threshold. So there weren't a lot of requirements to get in. In some cases, people could be taken in with pets or partners. You didn't have to be not actively using substances. They would, you know, know, obviously relax some of the rules to try to get people services and then help find them permanent housing. So those two programs were pretty successful. 50 people were taken at the Envision Hotel. There are currently 22 people living in the cottages, and the city says the cottages have served over 100 people since they were set up.
So how disruptive can these closures be to the people being served right now?
Well, the area worked for a lot of people because, as we said, in the Massancass area, there are so many served. There are methadone clinics and therapy and, you know, substance, all kinds of substance abuse treatment there. So they were set up close to those services to be able to access them. The state says to deal with these closures, it's created 48 new housing beds in Middlesex and Suffolk County that will be available specifically for when the cottages stop taking people. So they halted admissions at the cottages as of this week. They're going to close in July. At the Envision Hotel, they're phasing that out, and they will stop admitting people at the end of December. Mm-hmm. So the state says it has 48 units. It's working to put more on board. The city issued a statement saying that it's working with the state particularly to accommodate the folks who were in the Envision Hotel program and to perhaps find funding to continue those services at the Envision Hotel. Because we should say they stopped doing this because federal money ran out.
Yeah, that was my next question. Why is this happening? And you mentioned funding.
Right, right. American Rescue Plan Act money, COVID money that was supposed to help with economic relief because of the pandemic. The state was using some of that money to help with these two particular housing programs, and that money has run out. Because of that, they're transitioning to other potentially less expensive programs to provide transitional housing. The estimate is that it costs about $40,000 a year if you were going to spread this out over a year to provide this transitional housing and wraparound services for people, which the state says is much less expensive than
$40,000 a year per person?
Per person, which is less expensive than services, say, at a residential program or something along those lines, which mm-hmm. can be very expensive. So, you know, there are many efforts underway to look at how to continue to provide services. And both of these programs were also run by outside vendors. And they also say they look forward to working with the state to find solutions and to make sure that a huge tent encampment does not return to mm-hmm. Massancass once the weather gets warmer.
Well, Deb, right now I want to take a break, but when we get back, I want to talk about some of those efforts to continue to provide services and help people so that those tents don't come back. So we'll be right back.
Bandit and Chili are coming to a theatre near you.
Do you want to play musical statues with us?
Join the Healers in their first ever live stage show, Bluey's Big Play.
Look, Mum, Dad's playing with us.
A fun-filled show made for the whole family. It's Bluey brought to real life. Book now for Bluey's Big Play. We can't wait to see you there.
Politics has never been stranger or more online, which is why the politics team at Wired is making a new show, Wired Politics Lab. It's all about how to navigate the endless stream of news and information and what to look out for. Each week on the show, we'll dig into far-right platforms, AI chatbots, influencer campaigns, and so much more. Wired Politics Lab launches Thursday, April 11th. Follow the show wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back with WBUR reporter Deb Becker. So, Deb, we're talking about the closure of two state-run housing programs that were set up to help people who were cleared out of the Massancass tent encampment last fall. I'm curious to know, you just explained that, you know, the reason why they're closing is due to funding. And you started to talk about some of the efforts to continue to provide services so that, you know, people don't end up back on the streets, particularly in Massancass, in another encampment. So I'm curious to know, do you know anything about those efforts to keep offering assistance to people.
Some of the efforts involve housing in other areas. So the state says it's secured 48 beds that will be able to take folks, especially from the cottages, which is closing before the Envision program. Mm-hmm. And it expects to have about another 20 or so online. So 60 plus units of transitional housing to help continue to provide the services. And the vendors who are running this program, both of these programs, they also say that they are working with the state and with the city of Boston to try to make sure that services continue, and particularly for the 50 people who are currently housed at the Envision program and are trying to get permanent housing. The city says it's also working with the vendors there to try to make sure that there will be additional funding or some kind of funding available to continue those services.
Got it. Got it. You know, one thing I'm curious about is the city was offering to help people find housing. And we're talking about two state-run programs. Are all the housing options being offered to people who are in Mass and Cass, are they all state-run or some city-run, some private?
Yeah, some city-run, some private, some state-run. There were a lot of efforts made to try to make sure that there was housing available to people in the Mass and Cass area, particularly at the time, as you said, was November 1st, winter was coming on, and they really wanted to get people into housing.
Mm-hmm. How was the coordination between these different entities?
As far as I can tell, they seem to coordinate well.
Should we be concerned that there'll be more closures in the future?
I don't know if we should be concerned, but I think it's good to see that various agencies in the state are planning for this. They're mm-hmm. not just saying, oh, well, federal funding is gone and everybody has to leave. They really are planning to try to make sure that there is an orderly transition to continue to provide services. So I think that's a positive sign. But I do think that the federal money running out is not just going to affect housing programs, but a lot of other things, because that ARPA money was used for broad economic relief after the pandemic. So
yeah.
We may see other fallout from that money running out in areas that go beyond housing.
Got it. What are you looking out for in the future?
I think we'll see what happens once it gets warmer and if tents do return. The city closed an engagement center, which was down in that area where people could drop in and get services, get a meal, take a shower, do the laundry. That closed. They really made it uncomfortable for people to stay there. So this will be the first time the weather's been warm enough for tents to go back up without all of those services and with more enforcement and with barricades set up along the sidewalks so tents can't be erected. So we'll see if people continue to want to be committed to staying there in tents.
All right. Sounds like a big test for the city is coming up.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, Deb, thank you for this story. Thank you for coming through to talk to us. We really appreciate it.
Nice to see you.
That's WBUR reporter Deb Becker. And that's our show for today. Thank you so much for listening to The Common. If you want to get in touch with us, you can go to Instagram. Hit us up at WBUR The Common. You can also send us an email at thecommon@wbur.org. I am Daryl C. Murphy, and I will talk to you tomorrow.